The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. I like how everybody is stunned that the Packers had such an emphasis on running, particularly later in the game. They had no wide receivers left. We still don't know how badly injured Jones and Cobb are. Hopefully we'll find out more today. I know the initial indication last night, well, things aren't as bad as they may have looked with James Jones and Randall Cobb. I'm not going to assume anything at this point. We'll see. Yeah, I would agree Jason Cobb did appear more injured out there on crutches, and it had a nasty look to it. It really did. So at this point, I suppose you move Finley up to wideout, huh? I mean, I don't know what else you're going to do. I'm going to assume neither of those guys are going to be back next week for Cleveland. I could be wrong on that. Jones could be. I would be really surprised. The other thing people are talking about is the Packers finally looked tough yesterday. They seem to have a toughness. I would agree with that as well. I was so afraid my prediction of the Ravens by one was going to be right, because if they got the ball back again, that's what would have happened. They would have kicked a field goal, and that would have been it. I thought, oh, no, it's going to be my fault. Listeners are going to rip on me because I picked them by one. And in fact, Aaron Rodgers did what people were saying he couldn't do. Now, he didn't score late in the game, but he did that long pass to Finley to hang onto the ball. Very, very important. Maybe more on that a little later on in the show. Interesting weekend in all of the things that are being said and discussed about what's going on in Washington. I did a lot of research on that and a lot of different angles to cover on that. We'll be talking with Congressman Reid Ribble, at least scheduled to, in just a bit here. But later in the show, I want to get into that. And later in the show, I want to talk about the conservative infighting. And by the way, I do blame both sides in the conservative infighting and what it's doing. The most important thing it's doing is it's helping to mask the disaster that the Obamacare launch has been. And by the way, Democrats realize this fully. They realize President Obama realizes it's been a disaster, worse than I thought it would be. The launch is worse than most people thought it was going to be, and we thought it was going to be horrible. And he realizes that how bad it is, you know. He's not stupid. He's sly. He's cagey. But he's not stupid. And he realizes that he can be defiant, and that's what he's just being. He's being a bleephole. That's what he's being, because he thinks he can and get away with it. And the polls would indicate that he's right, that the media can help him accomplish that. Now, just to show you how firm Democrats are in all of this, they are now pivoting. And they are now saying, well, we've got to deal with this sequester nonsense. We have to change that now. Not only are they not going to capitulate, bend in any way to what Republicans want, now they are the ones that are being accused of overreaching and saying, well, yeah, you know, we have to revisit this sequester thing. Any Republican that agrees to that would be insane. Any Republican that entertains that notion for a moment would be insane. John McCain doesn't count, because who knows what John McCain would do. By the way, John McCain was one of those that has been demonizing Ted Cruz and others. So was Peter King, who you wouldn't normally, New York representative, who you would not normally put in the John McCain camp. I also, after 9 o'clock, want to share some email that I have received from listeners on this. And really take a look at perspective these days. I mean, really take a look at perspective. I want to share a couple of other stories today as well. We have said time and again that young people have no idea what they're doing when they post certain pictures or videos of themselves, not even online, but just if they text it to a friend, not realizing that now that friend can send it to the world. It is stunning, simply stunning to me how reckless young people can be. And I'm an example from our own backyard. I want to get into that and whatever else we find time for. However, we are going to start our conversation. And as I said, we're going to have more on this later in the show. We're going to start a conversation of what's going on in Washington. As we do every day until this is resolved, we talk with 8th District Republican Congressman Reed Ribble. Reed, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry. I'd rather talk about the Packers.
Well, I'm sure you. Okay, do you have any insight on whether Cobb and Jones are going to be okay?
I was at the game yesterday. It didn't look good.
You were there?
I was. It's in Baltimore, so I just drove up.
That had to be an experience.
It was. The people were great, by the way. We were sitting in a big crowd of Baltimore fans, and it felt a lot like being at Lambeau. They were so gracious and friendly and had a really great time, even though the Packers came out with a win. But both James Jones and Randall Cobb did not look good. Cobb was taken off. He rode a cart off the field. And we'll see. I'm hoping that they do well. We need them healthy.
I wondered how many Packers fans were there because the coon thing was...
I would dare say, Jerry, that it was 25% of the crowd.
Really?
It was huge. I mean, normally when the visiting team comes in, there's these kind of, a little bit of booze and rashing of them. But when the Packers came in, there was this very raucous cheer that went up.
Wow.
There were cheeseheads everywhere.
So I can see why you'd rather talk about the Packers. However,
yes.
We have to do what we have to do.
Yes, we do.
And I want to start with what is the latest development on this, where now Democrats are the ones being accused of overreaching, and they are now trying to put the sequester cuts on the table here and say, well, gee, let's revisit those. That should be an absolute non-starter, I think, for any Republican.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, this was something that we worked very hard to get. And quite frankly, at the time when we got those sequester cuts, Republicans were dismayed at that. You know, back in the Budget Control Act, when we raised the debt limit back in 2011, yep. I got really beat up badly for that vote. But in reality, they've been the only real cuts that we've had. Now, I'm happy to reshuffle the deck as far as making sure defense is funded correctly and all of that, but try to keep that and hold firm to that top line number, But it's going to be this is clearly the direction they're going, and that's why we've always wanted to have a short term CR that wouldn't go into next year, so that we could really shuffle that deck as we needed to. I think the only way we would take any type of change on the sequester is if we got significant reforms to entitlement spending.
One of the things that I don't think is getting talked about enough, and you and I have talked, mm-hmm. and I'm going to talk more about it later in the show, the divisions in the Republican Party, how firm, though, Harry Reid has held his troops together, including the handful that should be nervous about this. And there are those in your house that have taken votes against freeing up some things that they're going to have to come for later. But Democrats are absolutely unbending on this. And I think it was a real message when Harry Reid rejected the Collins plan over the weekend, which I think a lot of Republicans would have had trouble with. But absolutely no no, no. So this is now absolutely a question. Who's going to blink first? It sure as hell doesn't look like Democrats to me.
Well, it doesn't at this point. You know, but ultimately the president's responsible if we kind of broach that debt limit or breach it, and he's going to be the one, and his legacy is going to be held accountable. And so I think you'll see some softening of their position as we get closer to it. But one thing that certainly to me would make sense is for Republicans to now take and fund the, you know, we've been doing these mini CRs, and as you said, Democrats have, in the House have taken some tough votes, but fund the rest of it and then add whatever reforms we want on the debt limit and send that over as a package and see if Harry Reid would continue to say no.
Well, I think he will, but you apparently don't.
I think it'd be very tough for him to give an answer why the government is shut down if we end up funding the rest of it in a single piece, but then his members would have to vote on all those individual components over there as well.
I don't, talking with Congressman Reed Ribble, I don't know how, but it's, and this is where I guess I disagree with you on this. It seems clear to me, and I don't know what the president and Harry Reid have done, but Democrats seem more than willing to go over the cliff on this. If they haven't bent, and I'm talking about ones who should be nervous about 2014, they just, this myth of breaking the fever, this crisis fever, they just feel convinced they cannot bend on this.
That's what they believe, but in many respects, it's just kind of a silly proposition to start with. There will be a new president in 3 years. There'll be a new Congress in another year. And the players that are going to be in position the next time a debt limit comes up are all going to be different. And so if this president thinks he can break the back of the Congress just because he wants to, and it's going to forever change the paradigm on how the Congress deals with the White House, to me, that's a bigger threat to democracy than just about anything. We have a real constitutional crises we're facing, where the executive branch is exerting a tremendous amount of power over the congressional branch and legislative branch, and we've got to be very careful with how we deal with that threat, because the very representative republic that we live in is threatened when the executive branch has too much power.
Absolutely agree with that, but in terms of whether or not they're going to blink, Reid, I think he's wanted this all along. I think President Obama has wanted the shutdown, go ahead, default. He is willing to bring this, and I'm going to say this, and I know this is considered extreme by some, he is willing to bring the country to its knees to get his way.
Yeah, it appears to be that case right now, because if you look at the history of the last 2 weeks, Republicans have taken a whole series of compromises and have compromised the position all along the way. And the president has not compromised at all, not one inch, and neither has Harry Reid. And today, I think the polling data is starting to show that the president is now being held accountable because of this very staunch, non-compromise, non-negotiation posture. The American people want this type of political nonsense to stop.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be reelected, Reid.
No, he doesn't have to be reelected, but he is the titular head of that party.
Yeah, but really, though, I don't know that. I'm just going to say this.
Yeah.
He's being such a, and I used this earlier, bleephole, and I don't normally talk that way. I don't.
Yeah.
But I know, and I shouldn't say that, but he is being so intransigent. I don't think he cares. This is all about winning. That's where I think that's the way I think you have to look at this.
Well, it certainly feels that way to somebody that's on the inside here. That
it certainly
feels that way to me. And he's got a very compliant partner over in the U.S. Senate. The idea that Collins came up with, I don't think would have gotten a lot of Republican support in the House.
No.
I certainly couldn't have voted for it. But there would have been enough Republican support possibly to pass it if all the Democrats voted for it. And they even said no to that.
Let me ask you this, talking with Congressman Reed Ribble. The markets are going to start getting really nervous here.
I think we're going to see it here this morning already.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, Jason, throw me the numbers there. We'll have the Dow in just a moment before we part ways with you, Reed. Do you think that's going to shake either side?
I think it probably will. As you get closer to it, if it continues to drop, people are going to start getting nervous. But there's just no way that we can say we're going to do an unlimited, which is really what the president is asking for. He's asking for a suspension of the debt limit for a year without any dollar figure on it. It is such an untenable ask that there's just no way you can do it, because it doesn't address the problems that have brought us to this place. And he's unwilling to have any conversation in regard to that problem.
Dow's off 78 right now.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying, Reed, is I'm picturing Adlai Stevenson in the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
Ambassador, I am prepared to wait until hell freezes over. That's what he feels like to me right now.
Yeah. Well, and he may find that House members are feeling a bit the same way, but for a different reason. And right now, I don't see a clear path forward at this point. As of this morning, I don't see a clear path forward. There will probably be a path that will emerge. But I will tell you this, if there's one good benefit of all this, is that what we're seeing behind the scenes that the American people don't really see is an awful lot of sidebar conversations and groups where I'm having Democrats coming up to me and saying, listen, what is it going to take for you guys to actually break the impasse? We want to try to find a way for you to break this impasse. We're willing to really address the long-term debt issues. We're willing to put entitlements on the table. How do we move forward from here? And there's a lot of those conversations that are happening very quietly behind the scenes. And there'll be a motion from the bottom up in the Congress, I think, that might help move this forward before Wednesday.
All right, and we'll find out, and we'll touch base again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jerry.
Congressman Reed Ribble, appreciate it. I'll have more on this at 9:06. By the way, our chat with Reed is brought to you by Dual Financial Strategies.
Look at the world around you right now, and you ask yourself,